Welcome to Legal Talk with Attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Auto accidents, DUIs, slip and falls, each one can change your life. But the trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys at Flesh and Beck Law relieve your legal burden. Whether you need to heal from an injury or protect your future in a criminal matter, the legal team at Flesh and Beck Law is prepared to defend your rights. Now, here's Legal Talk with your host, Scott Whatley, and attorney Kevin Flesh.
Welcome to Legal Talk. My name is Scott Whatley, and we want to thank you for being with us. Our show is brought to you by Flesh and Beck Law. 303-806-8886 is the number. Always good to have our good friend Kevin Flesh in studio with us. Well, Kevin, we had an interesting last few days, and we'll just touch on this briefly with our recent election.
You know, it is interesting. So, obviously, conservative station. I'm a conservative, we're in a clearly now a blue, dark blue state. Which is unfortunate for us because our views are not seen in the same way as many of our citizens of Colorado. But, you know, I do jury trials, and I talk to people in those jury trials all the time. And I really get a sense, and if you look at sort of the other data that we have relating to how people have voted for candidates, financially, we're still pretty conservative.
Right.
Socially, there's definitely more leaning towards the liberal side of things. It's amazing to me when I speak to people about issues in either civil cases or criminal cases, how it seems we're pretty middle of the road. Mm-hmm. That people are all able to come together and come to a conclusion in a trial and make a decision about things. But then we get these elections where we have people that are wildly different, and the results are what they are. I'm just surprised. And
right.
what makes me wonder in the work that we do is if my conclusions about some of the things that I learn in trials are not accurate, or the messaging. I mean, it's just a really interesting time whenever we have these elections and we see the results as to where people are coming from when they go into a voting booth or they send in their ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think as much as, I mean, the ads, we hate the ads, and we hate sort of all of the things that people
I was watching, throughout the last few days, and the millions upon millions that are spent in these just individual races.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, they're so important. I mean, we see nationally how we thought that there was going to be this red wave, mm-hmm. which really it didn't. I mean,
Florida kind of got it, but that was about it.
Florida got it. Yeah. I mean, Texas. I mean, I think there are definitely places,
right.
But I was super surprised by the Pennsylvania race where you have an individual who, you can see on TV, mm-hmm. just is not, he doesn't have all of his faculties, and he still gets elected. I think that's really interesting in trying to decide on what exactly is going on with our electorate, because, there's this old saying is, the voters get the government they deserve. I'm just disappointed that's maybe the situation that we have here. And we continue with, all of the things that we have I thought the economy would be a much bigger deal.
Yeah.
And that people would, when going into the voting booth, make decisions about, gas prices and things like that. But maybe they don't believe that the Republicans will necessarily be any better.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe at the end of the day, when you start looking at things, maybe the messaging from the more conservative sides,
sure.
of the aisle wasn't effective enough, that it's just not something that people care about on balance. It's just an interesting time to be a Coloradan.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is, I guess. I mean,
I know.
There's
I know.
No, at the end of the day, I think it just makes me wonder in those situations where I'm maybe got a case that is more political in nature, that I've got to rethink how I message to those jurors, that is individual jurors, and what I'm asking them about. So from the standpoint of the practice of law, it's interesting because they're, mm-hmm. we don't really get into politics a whole lot in the
sure.
courtroom. But you do get some of that where people are coming from. And so these elections, are interesting to watch from my perspective, in that you really hope certain candidates win or at least are competitive in Colorado, and they really weren't in this election.
I mean, what, our governor race here by a few minutes after 7.
I know.
It was called, and I was like, I was really, the polls just closed.
And so I'm, you know, super interesting because I'm a registered Republican, but because of the work that I do, a lot of people believe I'm a Democrat. And so I get all kinds of ads from both sides. And YouTube, for example, watching the stuff that I watch, whatever reason, I had a bunch of Democratic YouTube ads. And the last one that I had was Polis with his dog. He was, you know, he was doing like an ad about, you know, pausing. And he was making all these crazy sort of word gymnastics.
Cute little wordplay.
Yeah, on his dog and getting to the polls. And I was like, wow, that is, I just found it really not very effective for me. But clearly I wasn't the people that, because people came out and voted for him like crazy.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just, that was really surprising to me. I thought that that race in particular would be much more competitive than it was. And it's unfortunate. I think Heidi Ginnall was a really good candidate. We, of course, knew Greg Lopez, who I just wonder if he would have been more competitive than her. And just the whole thing. It's just, it's an interesting time for people. And I think at the end of the day, people that listen to this station and listen to more conservative radio, sometimes I wonder if we are in our own echo chamber and need to be more aware of sort of what the rest of the pop, because clearly that's more than 50% of the population.
Sure.
That it's not even a question.
Oh no,
that the Republican candidates in this particular state, especially as it comes to the highest office relating to governor, I think it's a super hard election for a Republican to win the governor, at least for the near future. I mean, Polis obviously has a bunch of money, and he has handlers that are very good in the political process to get the message out to the people that matter, that go out and vote. And so hats off to him, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Last thing on the election, it seemed like a lot of people I ran into on our, going back to Colorado here and just our local different counties, when you vote for judges.
Yeah. Oh, great, yeah.
A lot of people, including me, I'll just say, how do we even know about these judges and what their views are? Are they ones just letting everybody off on everything,
right,
or are they, you know?
Yeah, so it is an interesting, the retention for judges after they're appointed. So first of all, maybe just a little bit about that process. Super interesting process, because each jurisdiction has individuals from the community that when a judge retires or gives their notice that they're no longer going to be on the bench, these individuals will post the opening, and then they have people apply. And those individuals do interviews and they decide after interviews and also some references and talking to people in the community, they'll send up a slate of 3 individuals to the governor to make decisions. And then the governor gets to decide which they pick.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's another process with the governor, but it's not as public as what goes on with these committees that make decisions about judges. All right. So once you're appointed as a judge, then you have these periods of retention that you have to go through the voting process for people to decide. And so there's also then committees of individuals who then give opinions about whether a judge should be retained or not. And you'll see those in the blue books. They'll have a bio about the judge and sort of how they've done and what they've been. There'll be people that watch the courtroom and see how they interact with the public and maybe related to their sentencings and sort of where they are in the grand scheme of thing relating to the sentencing recommendations in criminal cases. And then also civil cases, they'll give their opinion about how they preside over matters and what their demeanor is like. But for those individuals who aren't in the courtrooms on a regular basis, it's really hard. In my neighborhood, since people know that I'm a lawyer, I have one woman, a friend of ours, that will email me every election cycle and say, okay, Arapahoe County, because we live in Arapahoe County, tell me which judges I should be voting no on. And so I give her my opinion about certain judges that are up for retention. But I would say that that's one way to do it, that you get in contact with lawyers that are actually in the courtrooms litigating cases to give an opinion about what the judge is like and whether or not they should be retained. Because we don't have regular general elections where I could, you know, go out and campaign to be a judge in a particular jurisdiction. You have to be appointed, and then it's a retention sort of scenario. There was a few years ago where there was a judge in Adams County that must have gotten sideways with several personal injury lawyers in the area. And they really went out and spent money on attempting to have people to vote no, not to retain this particular judge. And they spent a considerable amount of money to try to have that happen.
Really?
They weren't successful at it, but there was a movement to try to have this particular judge removed from the bench because of some rulings and other things that they had that he had done with these firms. And so that was interesting to watch. But generally speaking, you know, unless what I have seen relating to these decisions about retaining or not is I know of several judges that in the event that they get an opinion from these committees not to retain, it just happened up in Adams County recently, where a county court judge got a not retain opinion from this committee, and that particular judge immediately gave their notice and said, I'm not even going to come up for retention, I'm out. That happens from time to time. So that process is one that sort of self-governs. But otherwise, you know, it's really coming down to reading what you can about finding out about what the judges like and what they are, how they're doing in the courtroom and their rulings, and then talking to practitioners. That's
sure.
really the only way that you can make decisions about that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, interesting times ahead. For
it is,
sure.
No doubt. And you know, as much as I remember the 2016 election cycle and how I was the day after very happy about the results, and I thought, okay, you know what? Central, sort of middle America has regained sort of the focus on what we need.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've sort of gone away from that the last 6 years. And so...
And what kills me is, I mean, everybody buys gas, everybody buys groceries, everybody, you know, buys cars and interest rates and homes and mortgages. And so forgetting the Democrat Republican side of things, but it's just crazy to me that...
Yeah, well, remember, the fact is, I've got three children now that are adults that are voting that do those sorts of things on the fringes because they're all in college. They all voted. They all voted Democrat because that's what they think the right thing to do. And I think there's a lot of people out there, as I said to one of my daughters yesterday, because she was asking me about voting and where she, because she's in another state, can she vote there? And I said, I think so. You know, go find out. Make sure you give yourself enough time. And so she had sent me this picture after she voted, and she said, I voted. And I said, that's great. And because I said, well, I hope you voted for some Republicans. And she was like, no Republicans. And so I responded to her. I said, you're smart. You'll eventually vote Republican. It's just going to take you some time. And I think that there are some folks out there that are like that, that really need to understand sort of what we are talking about in the way of the two parties. And I agree that they're not perfect, but it is what it is. And mm-hmm. I just hope people make decisions that they really understand what they're doing.
Sure.
And sometimes, and maybe I'm just off base. And that's what the other things that I come back the morning after or several days after. And I look at it and I think, wow, you know, in my message to folks, because you do when you're doing trials, you have to make sure that you have what you hope to be like-minded mm-hmm. people making decisions about the particular case. Because if you are completely off message, much like in an election, in a jury trial, and I've had this happen where I just missed the mark with the people that I'm arguing to, then that's what it is. But normally I get it. And I was thinking in this election that there would be, based upon sort of what's going on nationally and all of the other things, that there would be a little bit more wave than there was.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what it is. And we'll move on.
Yeah.
Because you know what? The United States of America, we still, I think, can work together. When you get people in a room getting outside of the yelling and everything else, and you really can have a real conversation with people about their views and things, and it's sort of a safe space where people don't feel uncomfortable and they really do are willing to, mm-hmm. and everybody trusts one another, we're not that far off, I think.
Right.
But when you see these elections, you begin to wonder.
Right. Well, this election recap was brought to you by Flesh and Beck Law. 303-806-8886. All right. Our remaining time here, I want to talk about this real quick. Boy, season's changing here. Snow and ice is going to be coming. And recently, I mean, man, we just got a little bit. And I think on the west side of town, there was like a 100-car pileup.
Yes.
And so I wanted to kind of bring up that topic of these multi-vehicle accidents because, you know, a lot of times when we talk, we're talking about, hey, a couple of cars and you get out and you talk to the person if you're able, all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But That has to be super, super complicated.
Yeah, it really is. And the first thing that whenever I see these multiple cars, 10, 15, 20, 100 cars, I mean, think about 100 cars. Just to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
100 cars were involved.
Yeah, go buy a dealership somewhere if there was 100 cars on the lot.
Right.
And just count how many cars that is.
There aren't that many dealers. In fact, driving over here, I was looking at all the dealers on Havana. There just aren't that many.
Right.
There's not that much inventory right now still. But 100 cars. First, what we know, if you drive around at all, and I'm driving around more and more because we have in-court appearances more and more now, we drive too close together, mm-hmm. right? So at 60 miles an hour, you're going 88 feet per second. So 88 feet is 90 yards, approximately, right? No, it's 30 yards. 30 yards per second. It takes you almost 2 seconds to respond to some sort of stimulus to change your course in a vehicle. So you're talking about 60 yards before you respond. So when you're 10 feet apart, that's how these things happen, sure. right? Because people are traveling too close together. And especially when we have snow and ice where you can't stop quickly, most vehicles can stop from 60 miles an hour within a couple hundred feet, right? That's about average. Mm-hmm. So if you have a heavier vehicle, that maybe your brakes aren't as good as they should be. Maybe it's 300 feet. So now you're talking about a football field when you actually have to stop. So that's how this happens. So in Colorado, we're still a tort state. So what that means is that we're going to have to prove who's at fault. Well, if you're all traveling too close together and you're all creating damage to each other in this sort of accident, you know, who's left to be at fault? There's right. not a lot of people that are going to say in a jury, well, vehicle one in the front was at fault or vehicle 100 at the end was at fault. There's probably fault that's spread all over all of those 100 vehicles. And it's a really good scenario for the insurance companies never having to pay out anything, right? Because because when we're talking about...
Would it
about,
go against you, just your own insurance
yeah,
then?
Most likely.
Yeah.
You would have to get your damage to your vehicle fixed through your own insurance. You would not be able to make a claim against anyone, really. Because remember, this gets us into the discussion about comparative negligence.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea, and it's time-tested. It makes complete sense relating to comparative negligence. The idea is you can take a pie, and the idea is that the fault is the whole pie. So how do you divide that pie up into segments as to who's at fault for your injuries? In a 100-car pileup, theoretically, you could cut that pie into 100 pieces. And if each one of the individuals involved in the accident was 1% at fault. Now, the idea is, as a plaintiff, when you're making a claim against somebody, the idea is that your fault has to be less than their fault. So in a two-car pileup, right, you have to be at least 51, the at-fault party has to be at least 51% at fault before they have to pay you anything.
Okay.
In that two-car accident where that one person is 51% at fault, then the other driver is 49% at fault. And in that particular situation, you'll recover something, but it's really only 2% because you don't get to recover for your own fault. So in the case of a situation where you're making an allegation against someone that they're at fault at the accident, and a jury comes back in this comparative negligence theory that can be used at any time in this sort of case, if they come back, well, that driver is 51% at fault, but you're 49% at fault, you're only going to get recovery for 2% of your actual damages. So if they give you, for easy purposes, $100,000 in damages, it has to be offset by that 49%.
Okay.
You'll get the rest relating to your damages. So a substantial reduction in that verdict.
Right.
All right. So now if we're talking about 100 cars... Yeah, and even, let's say, you're in the middle, you determine that someone in the front is 20% at fault. Are you at fault at all? Let's say you're 10% at fault. Well, you still have that, they're more at fault than you are,
mm-hmm.
but is someone else at fault, or is there no fault? And that's where we get into these are very complicated matters because it gives everybody an opportunity to say, point the finger at somebody else and make decision that someone else is at fault.
Sure.
Or that no one's at fault. I've had this happen with a six-car pileup where the person that was at fault was never found. So the lead car that caused all of these people to have an accident and injuries behind them mm-hmm. was never determined to be, they couldn't find them because they caused the accident and then they took off because they were able to drive away because they were only rear-ended.
Gotcha.
And so in those situations, then you may have an underinsured, uninsured motorist claim because you can say, well, we went to trial. The jury made the determination that the person that was at fault was unnamed. We don't know who they were. And there's this phantom car, and everybody said it was their problem and their fault that caused this accident, then no one in that particular litigation would be deemed responsible for any damages. No insurance companies would have to pay. And then if you had underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage, you would be able to make a claim against that mm-hmm. after you went through the litigation in the first case, determined that the person that was at fault was the unnamed phantom person,
right.
And then you'd make a claim against your own insurance if you have that coverage. And that's why we always talk about always having that coverage because sure. it's so important to have, and because the limits in Colorado are so low as a minimum limits, and secondarily if this sort of scenario happened. But, and again, I'm sure there'll be people in that 100-car pileup that will say, I don't know who is at fault. And they'll go through the litigation of arguing about a whole bunch of different people that a jury may determine no one was at fault. And then, again, you have that potential mm-hmm. for an underinsured, uninsured motorist claim.
And I guess when cops come, I mean, do they try their, it's hard to even number the cars of what.
Well, they certainly will, right?
Well, they were, because all that, and so, and you take that example, which is extreme, I understand, but, you know, you can't really get out of the car to go back and talk to anybody.
Yeah.
And so you may not even get to meet the people in yep. front or behind you.
Exactly, and you know with 100 people, there's going to be people that are skedaddling, that yeah. they're leaving because they don't, maybe they have other reasons.
And probably some, hey, there could be someone killed. There could be yep. other really serious injuries where the focus is on them too.
Yeah, so what I've, yep, exactly. So what I've seen in the past with that sort of large involvement of cars is the, you know, state patrol or whoever is in that area will shut down the roadway for a particular long stretch, and then they'll try to recreate what happened. And they'll bring out mm-hmm. folks that, you know, State Patrol in particular, but also Denver and other municipalities, have individuals that are always on call.
Reconstructed.
That are accident reconstructionists that have gone through significant training to look at the physical evidence to figure out what exactly has happened. And then they'll come to their own conclusions about what took place after maybe speaking with people and looking at the environment where the accident happened. And that's really helpful mm-hmm. in trying to figure out what took place and helping individuals through these sorts of cases. But what at the end of the day, what it does matter, unless you have a clear, you know, violation of the law, reckless
right.
driving, careless driving, something else crazy has happened that has caused these wrecks. But like a lot of times, you know, insurance companies have specifically in their declaration pages talking about weather and mm-hmm. acts of God and things like that that they can use as defenses. So the other day where we had that big pileup, I mean, it was a really slippery
right.
situation. And so you're going to have lots of defenses for insurance companies to say, well, we don't have to pay because first you have to prove that the person is liable, mm-hmm. that there's one individual or individuals that have caused this. And when you can't prove that, then the insurance company doesn't have a trigger to say that what they did caused injury to anybody because they may not have been responsible.
Right.
That it was just an unfortunate accident.
And basically we're all just kind of follow the same basic guidelines. I mean, hey, if you're able to safely, and stress that word safely,
yeah.
get some pictures or whatever,
yes.
or get witnesses or statements, anything like that,
yep.
and, you know, seek treatment,
yep.
That type of thing. Right?
Yeah, you still go back to the idea that, first of all, you want to prove who it really was at fault. So if you can gather any of that evidence, if you're physically able to do so and it's safe for you to do it,
mm-hmm.
then do that. Take pictures of the area where you are, where your vehicle is, where the vehicles were sort of left after all of the collisions occurred, and then try to talk to people. You know, we have great devices now in our hands to record conversations. Colorado is one of those states that as long as one of the individuals in the conversation is aware that the recording is going on, you don't have to give notice to anyone, and those recordings are admissible in court. Take pictures of people so that you get a sense of who they are. You know, take pictures of license plates and VINs on the vehicles so that you can track things back later to try to figure out who exactly may be responsible for your injuries and the damages that you have there.
And then, man, I say it's crucial if it's just a two-car accident, but super crucial then to call you. I mean, get a hold of you, because you're going to be getting calls maybe from different insurance companies, and boy, you just, I don't even want to be involved in that. I just want to go call Kevin.
And really, that's the other thing that will happen, unless it's a really big commercial vehicle that has caused the accident. Those policies, you know, will probably have enough resources to cover a lot of the injuries relating to these sorts of things. But if it's just somebody that has a $25,000 policy that's caused it, then you're going to have multiple people involved trying to make a claim relating to these injuries and their losses, and they're going to have to divide that policy up somehow. And that's where we can help people to make the best case possible relating to what's taken place for you, and also then talk about maybe the underinsured, uninsured motorist side of the claims and how exactly those interrelate with each other, try to find other policies that may be involved. And that's really what we can help people getting through these difficult situations.
And, you know, you alluded to it earlier, but the easiest way to stay out of one of these is keep your speed down, keep your distance, don't be distracted, don't be on your phone. Because, I mean, we've all done it where you look down for just what you think is 1 second at a text or whatever, and all of a sudden you're here we go, you know, and then the nightmare starts.
Exactly. You know? I mean, I had a call this morning, a woman that had a sneezing fit in her car. She was driving down the road last night, and she's having this fit, and she looks up and she rear-ended a car. You know, and it's one of those situations where, like, oh my goodness, how long did the sneezing fit take place? I mean, stuff like that you don't intend for these things to happen, but just always be aware. You're driving a 3,000-pound vehicle.
It's moving.
Yeah. And be careful.
Yeah, absolutely. So keep your speed down, keep your distance, and, hopefully you can stay out of one of these accidents, but no matter what, put the number in your phone, 303-806-8886. That is the Flesh and Beck Law. Kevin, as always, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us today for Legal Talk. Hope you have a great rest of your day.
Call now for a free consultation with Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886, 303-806-8886, or visit fleshlawfirm.com. That's FLESCH, fleshlawfirm.com. A proven team dedicated to your legal needs.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
Rates just keep going up, making it harder to buy or refinance a home. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Make your 30-year payment, but own your home in 15 years, all while paying half the interest. Have access to your equity for 30 years without having to refinance and pay more fees. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. There are thousands of customers taking advantage of this simple interest loan. It's times like this when you can really save in your interest costs and pay less. Go to AIMortgage.net and see our Google reviews about the Asset Manager Mortgage. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Get up to 90% loan-to-value and up to $2 million in loan amount, all at the same rate as a $100,000 loan. Whether you want a condo, second home, investment, or cash out, all come with the same rate. No more paying higher fees and higher rates. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Pay less interest and own your home faster. Call 720-895-0500. NMLS 298-191, regulated by...
Zip around the neighborhood, commute to work, or ride the trails on an e-bike. Hi, I'm Randy Carancy, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are electric bikes that are fun and easy to ride. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. At eBike of Colorado, we have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Just try it. Take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Choosing Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center almost 20 years ago was one of the best decisions we ever made for our pets. Hey, this is Scott Whatley, and I know it's a busy time of the year for all of us, but it's no reason to forget about our pets. Our pets are a part of our family, and they need their checkups and preventative care just as we humans do. Whether a pet is new to the family or has been a family member for many years, regular checkups are the foundation of our pet's overall health. Depending on your pet's age, a preventative care visit will include the basics, such as an exam and vaccinations, diet and weight management, and parasite preventatives. But it could also involve a spay or neuter discussion, microchipping, concerns about house training, or behavior issues. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, the medical team will take the time to get to know your pet and address the concerns you have about your pet's care. It's what your pet deserves, and it's good medicine. Whether your pet needs medical, dental, or surgical care, boarding, grooming, behavior training, pet foods, or pet care products, you'll find it at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, the place where my pets go. Call today, 303-708-8050. That's 303-708-8050. And don't forget to visit their website at LoneTreeVet.com.
Do you know what direction the stock market will go? Nope, no one does. But it's extremely important to discover the tools you can use if the market goes up, down, or sideways. These same tools could be used for income strategies or long-term wealth strategies. Text the word investing to the number 210-210 and join us for a free investing class right here at OTA. Text the word investing to the number 210-210 today. Also, check out the podcast, Investing and Trading Live, wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to AM 560 KLZ, your home station.
This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. Be sure and check out our website. It's HaystackHelpRadio.com. There you'll find our podcast, you'll find our referral list, and we are proud to have one of our referral list members right now, and that is Paul Dowding with WaterPros. Paul, good to see you.
Good morning. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, man. You've been busy, haven't you?
Yeah, we've been busy. Grateful.
You guys have been doing really good.
Yeah, we're doing, you know, it really helps with going on today. And,
sure.
You know, with the water quality and people concerned about drinking water. And then, you know, that's first and foremost on their mind, so we're mm-hmm. able to help them out.
And, you know, sometimes we really don't think about something until it's brought to our attention a lot of times. And I'll be honest, I didn't. We bought a ton of bottled water and never really thought about things until I met you. And now proud to say that we have a very cool water in our house. And, man, I'll give you a little testimony here in a second, but I'm telling you, the day after we could feel the difference. And you had me run some hot water for 30, 45 minutes, kind of flush the system, I guess. You'll have to help me with the terms. But after that, man, you could feel the difference on the skin and your hair. I mean, just exactly what you said.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, another thing it does, too, is that it saves with our water resource, right, because you're cut mm-hmm. back on soaps, detergents, and chemicals. And so that's, you know, less that goes into our water, you know, our water supply, because it's there.
Yeah.
And
you even told my wife with the dishwasher not to use the cube
pods
anymore.
Right.
Just a little touch of salt. And, man,
liquid, yeah. Right. And then the same with our clothes, right? You know what I mean? That you have a lot of soap and a lot of detergents built up on our clothes. That's the fabric. If you see T-shirts, especially undershirts, right? Weekend shirts, and you see them raveling or you know, a hole, what happens? It's because they're not wearing out. It's because the soap is breaking down the fabric.
Okay.
Right? That's where lint comes from in the dryer, right? It's clothes. It's fabric.
Okay.
Right? Wow. And so the fabric is basically, your soap is like abrasive, and it stays. And so with the water softener, you cut back, you don't use as much soap. You know, there's companies out there that advertise they'll clean your carpet with no chemicals. Well, what are they using? Right? Soft water. Mm-hmm. and so it's great for breaking down and fight stains. So you don't need, you know, 90% less of the cleaning products. And, you know, you save money naturally that way.
Right. And the test that you talked about here on the radio several times, and when you came over, we actually did it. And what I liked about this, this wasn't some kit you pulled out of a bag or something that was from you.
Right.
You said, get a bowl,
yeah,
get your washcloth, get your bottle of water. And so that, I mean, the proof was in the pudding, as they say.
Yeah, but people don't realize bottled water is soft water, mm-hmm. right? So that's another thing. Is, you know, people think that water softening water doesn't taste good, but, well, you're drinking it when you buy bottled water. And so with soft water, what a way to demonstrate what's really going on, because that's in your house, it's your washcloth. And there's one thing we try to do is no gimmicks in our presentation,
right?
We want to educate and be factual. And in the market today, there's companies out there that want to do a long presentation, but, you know, there's the gimmick aspect, right? Mm-hmm. They take water and they change colors and they talk about contamination. There's legitimate issues that people should be concerned about without having to add a presentation that gives fear factor.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, we try to do, you know, various ways, but to bring it to your attention. And one of the things is, you know, look what's being left over. And so if this soap is trapped in the washcloth that stays in the clothes, mm-hmm. right, then it builds up. That's what's on the shower door. And then we want to go into, you know, what's used to clean hard water and soap film. And then now, you know, there's letters that are being sent out by water districts. Adams County was one. I think folks in Denver got one. Concerned about the forever chemicals that are in our water supply, the PFOs, PFAs. You go to our website under products, in the bottom of the page, we have the document from the EPA, you know, that talks about what are those forever chemicals.
Right. So when your phone rings, somebody calls you, what are generally the first few reasons they mention of why they're calling you? And we'll get into everything that you offer, because it's not just a softener, just a filtration. But what are most people concerned about?
Right now, it's the drinking water, mm-hmm. quality drinking water. And then the other is the right next, the second is, you know, hard water. You know, they don't want, you know, ruining their appliances. So, you know, when you get into a, you know, brand new home, you see the wear and tear already, right? And it's an investment, you know. It's,
sure.
Nowadays, average home price here is, what, $500,000?
Oh, yeah. God, no. Man, it's crazy.
You know, yeah. So it's something that, you know, they don't want, you know, their new home, the appliances, the wash machine, you know, especially the dishwasher, they see it, you know, to get ruined. And what's happening? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Think about all the other chemicals that you buy, right, the jet dry, right? And now,
right,
on top of your soap products for the wash machine, they have these little beads that they're add to basically make the towels and the clothes feel softer. So that's more conditioning. That's more product, mm-hmm. right, that's there. And it's unnecessarily, really truly is. And so when anything that you send down the drain or flush down the toilet, right, disappear, it dissipates,
sure.
right? And some chemicals get diluted where, you know, they eventually, you know, go to where you can't traceable levels, but others will stay and
right.
stay and stay. And that's why they call the forever chemicals. And so I think now I've always mentioned that, you know, I thought in the next 3 to 5 years, you know, water filtration, especially drinking water system, will be common in a home as to your first and hot water heater. And hard water plays a part
mm-hmm.
in, you know, the quality of your drinking water, because water treatment isn't plug and play. So if you got really, you know, if your water is really hard, it's going to affect the operation of your drinking water filter.
Right. Absolutely. Paul Dowding is our guest. Again, it's WaterPros, waterpros.net. So what are these, this county, Adams County, like, what are they telling people?
Well, they're letting people know that the levels of the PFOs, PFAs in the water are at a higher level than what the EPA would say is safe. Or they're getting borderline to that point where, you know, hey, you really need to pay attention. And they're recommending that folks drink, you know, go out and buy a bottle of water. And mm-hmm. so, you know, this is something that a couple years ago, trade publications led by the Water Quality Association, they did a study about these PFOs and PFAs. And about a handful of years ago, I believe that, you know, it was brought to everybody's attention in Colorado Springs, right, by the military base, to the point where I'm pretty sure the military base was providing bottled water or giving folks, you know, water pitchers. And some communities here now are giving water pitchers to help you know, reduce the, you know, the chemicals in the right. drinking water. So it's something that, you know, now it's come to fruition. It's here, and we really need to think about, you know, what we're doing with our water environment. And that's a resource. Water's been around as old as the planet, right? It's reusable. Yeah. I mean, there's no brand new water.
Who would have ever dreamed, I don't know when it came out, bottled water, but who would have ever dreamed, man, that we would pay? And it's a bazillion-dollar industry, isn't it?
Well, it is. And I remember back in the 80s, I was in high school, and bottled water's like, are you kidding me? Who would buy that, right? And then it got to be where bottled water was more expensive, right, than a gallon of gas. Not anymore.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
But I remember that. First, I think it started out as a fad, right? Mm-hmm. You know, style of a bottle of water, and now it's something that is going to be a necessity. But the other thing, too, is, you know, the plastics, right? That, you know, sure. And so that's another
gotta
issue.
Go somewhere.
Right. And so, you know, we got another, you know, recycling, you know, they're trying to, you know, cut down the waste, and it's ending up, you know, in the oceans, right? Landfills. Mm-hmm. And sometimes these plastics don't break down. And you also have to figure, too, when you get, you know, thousands and millions of pounds of waste that are buried, you know, every week, you know, in our landfills, you know, water, rainwater is going to run through all that.
Sure.
Right. And eventually water will go through all those contaminants that we try to bury, all our garbage. Mm-hmm. And it gets back into our main water supply, our aquifer. So we really need to pay attention, because with water quality, that's the essential part of life is water.
Sure.
And so water quality, I think, is something that's going to be more relevant today as a necessity. Years ago, you know, water softening was something that has been around since the 40s, mm-hmm. right? Okay. And so people had to go to somebody's home. When I first got involved in water treatment, you know, you had to, you know, show them. You had to do, it was necessary to create the issue of why do you need, you know,
yeah, the
water
need.
Sharper.
You had
right.
to create the need, because right. I didn't know.
Right. So, yeah. You know, you did the soap test. It was one of the things that you did. And then you showed them the savings and what it could do. And now I think it's, you know, it's more about drinking water quality, to pay attention about drinking water. Well, if you have soft water, then your water filter is not going to be occupied by hard water. And hard water will, you know, beat up a water filter and prevent it from performing as designed. And so they're gonna. It's like a 1-2 punch. Think, you know, the 99% of the water we use in our home right now is from, you know, for showering, for cooking, or excuse me, cleaning, and it's the 1% for drinking and cooking. You know, that's for the drinking water mm-hmm. part of it. So it, you know, we set it up with, you know, the 1-2 punch. You take care of the water for everyday use, and then you have that great water for, you know, drinking and cooking.
Right. Do you think with COVID too, you kind of saw an uptick because more people were home and drinking probably from home, and, you know, not, hadn't been there. No, most of us don't spend much time at the house,
well,
man.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You know, everybody works from home now, right?
Sure.
But, you know, that's another good point, too. We used to, majority of our visits when we went to visit somebody was during the evening, right? So they get home and, you know, got to get the kids fed,
yeah.
right? And after
so
dinner.
7 o'clock or
right.
something,
so it's kind of, you know, you felt like you were intruding in somebody's life, right? Now it's so relaxed. You get to somebody's home, they work there, they're ready for you, you know, they can, you know, fit you in their schedule, and, you know, they're in their comfy clothes, and, you know, so it's a easier approach and, you know, conversation, because, you know, it's different than someone, you know, just getting home from work and, oh yeah, we got the water guy coming over, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a different approach. And it's more comfortable and relaxing. And I think now, because of that, you know, think about what they did on what they how they could tell that the virus was uptick is what they how did they test? They went to what? The waste treatment
mm-hmm.
and got viruses there. Right. And so if we thought about what happens, you know, with your water. Right. And when it goes to the waste treatment plant. And then what they do from that point, right, and then they dump it right back into the rivers, lakes, streams, and reservoirs that we draw it right back from.
Wow. Paul Dowding is our guest. It is Water Pros. WaterPros.net, their number, 303-862-5554. All right, so for those that hadn't caught you on the last couple of months since you've been with us, let's kind of give just an overall look of what you guys offer.
So we do whole house water filtration, right, water softening, water conditioning. We do reverse osmosis drinking water systems on a small scale, large scale. We do also we specialize in whole home reverse osmosis units, and those are designed for folks that live in the rural area where they have multiple problem issues. And so, you know, reverse osmosis in a lot of cases is needed because of high total dissolved solid levels, which can mean various contaminants, high sodium levels, uranium, you know, can be an issue in well water here in Colorado.
Right.
So, you know, we offer solutions for that. We've also designed with, you know, proven technology, we have a whole house unit now that we can handle the forever chemicals and remove them, you know, for the whole house level, you know, at a very, you know, affordable price. And we use multimedias, you know, that filtration. And so it allows us to achieve, you know, the maximum, you know, as far as the quality, you know, at every single faucet in the home. So that's something that we focus on and try to offer products that meet the needs of the water problems. You know, Colorado is a mixed bag of nuts when it comes to water quality. And, you know, folks in, you know, Louisville, for example, have naturally soft water. There's some folks that, you know, went to a house and buyers on Friday and neighbors around him, you know, within a couple miles, their water quality had, you know, really hard water, high iron content and brand new home. And he had naturally soft water. It's same area. I mean, it's not uniform. I mean, where I came from in the Midwest, you know, from county to county, the water was going to be the same.
Sure.
You know, it's really hard limestone. And so you just had hard water. And so, but here it's just different.
Wow. Once again, Paul Dowding is our guest. Water Pros, give him a call, 303-862-5554. It's waterpros.net. You're listening to Haystack Up Radio. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Chris Kane with 303roofer.com. If you're looking to put on a new roof because of hail, give us a call at 303-390-1382. We'll give you a cash price, which means you'll most likely get to keep some of your insurance money instead of giving it to us. It's your money, we know that, and we'll price the work accordingly. So give us a call today, 303-390-1382, or go to our website, 303roofer.com.
Hey, before we get back to the show, I just want to take a minute and say a personal word about Stack Optical. I've been going to Allen for over 10 years, and it's with great confidence that I can say you should trust all of your optical needs to Stack Optical as well. Allen, which you've heard on our show many times, has been taking care of his customers since 1968, and yes, it's still family-owned and operated. So if it's time for your eye exam, I hope you'll call 303-321-1578 and get your eye exam scheduled. And folks, it's only $69. So go check out the great selection of frames. And since Stack Optical has their own on-site lab, you'll have your new glasses in just a couple of days. So for glasses, prescription sunglasses, contacts, and even repairs, go see Stack Optical, 2233 South Monaco Parkway in Denver. The number is 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com. And at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Always good to have Paul Dowding with us from Water Pros. WaterPros.net. Once again, their number, 303-862-5554. So, Paul, when you see all these different things, I mean, the government's in about every area of our life, but how do we know what to trust with different things like this EPA stuff and all this?
Great question. And I have to agree. Sometimes, you know, how do you know what to trust? But there was, before the EPA got involved, there were outside agencies trying to get the EPA to pay attention to this.
Okay.
So this was these were independent, you know, companies that were doing testing that were saying, hey, this is an issue, this is an issue, and finally brought it to the government's attention where the government, you know, issued a guidelines that municipalities are following. That's part of the reason why these communities are sending out the letters was because it's an EPA, you know, guideline, right? It's kind of like the CDC has guidelines, well, the EPA. And what we're talking about is a polyfluorinated substances. And so that's PFAS in short. But these are man-made chemicals that are in our environment because decades of use of the non-stick or water-resistant, you know, materials from even the frying pans, right? Non-stick frying pans,
right.
and our clothes, the water-resistant pants. Remember the doctors that they came out, right? Water-resistant?
Mm-hmm.
So everything gets into, like I mentioned before, gets into the landfill, so water runs through that. Then they find this water-resistant repellent and firefighting foam, which is really huge for our state because of the firefighters using that to fight the wildfires, right? And then, you know, anything that was on wooden decks and the stain on the wooden decks, right, that was used for water-resistant chemicals, that's part of it, okay. Part of the group, okay? Some people... back in the day had those wood chick roofs, and they sprayed that chemical, you know, on those roofs. I don't think those are around anymore, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, but so anything that's a water-resistant repellent, water-repellent, Rain-X, for example. And so they've been, there's right now, to date, there's over 3,000 chemicals out there that still have this agent that it's in everyday use. So, you know, and that's down from hundreds of thousands of them. Okay. So when we use our water and goes into the waste treatment plant, now you also have, you know, all the vitamins, right, that people take, the drugs that people take, the antibiotics that people take, on top of the soaps, cleaners, detergents that people use. That's all in wastewater. So what they do with the wastewater is they take the solids out, right, and then they dump everything back into the same water resources that they pull it from. So this is all reusable water. Right, it's all reusable. You're not pulling from any new water source. So the lakes and reservoirs that are being used now, they're down because of a drought, right? And so that means that we're just not getting moisture rain. But the same, again, the same amount of water that's on our planet today was in the planet billions and billions of years ago where the dinosaurs bathed in, same amount.
Wow.
So that being said, as society grows, our municipality grows, water usage demand increases, so you can figure the kind of waste that's being dumped in, right? Okay, so then when they give you the water to drink, what are they doing? Are they taking the time to run it through nanofiltration filters before we get it? No. Mm-hmm. They take, you know, they measure them out, and every single chemical or contaminant has a standard guideline that's acceptable to be in there, okay? A lot of folks are concerned about fluoride. Fluoride's natural. You know, it's added, but it's also natural in the water supply. And that's something that, that people want to do away with because of, you know, gum disease, right? I remember years ago in Henderson, Nevada, they had a big issue and the teeth were rotting away because of the high fluoride content. So with that, you know, you have to look at with all these emerging contaminants that are coming now, and then, you know, we take a glass of water, well, it's not 100% H2O anymore. And so what's happening is that you have to consider, you know, how do we stop, right, you know, the contamination. And right. One of the ways to do that, the contamination part, is cut back on certain cleaners and detergents, and that's where the water softener comes in. And it's something that it aids in the quality of our drinking water for the future, because if you cut back in contamination, then, because it's still going to be there, right? It's not like it's going to be eliminated.
Sure.
And so it's something that we can do to reduce it for the future.
I remember several years ago, and I don't even remember how long ago this was, but I just remember on the news one time, they went out to some area here in Colorado, and they were lighting, actually, the water coming out of a mm-hmm. kitchen. Yeah, what was that about?
Methane, yeah.
You know, do you see that anymore?
Yeah. It happened in, I think it was northern Colorado, right? Yeah, So, you know, one of the things to think about is, you know, look at all the new homes going up and all the access to the same amount of water that we had. So there's really, mm-hmm. you know, it's water resources has increased. People have increased. Well drilling. I mean, you folks are moving outside the metro area. I mean, the east, you know, Byers, Stroudsburg, are, you know, they're growing because people want to move away. You know, the home prices are a little bit, you know, less expensive than what right. you would find in the metro area. And then people, you know, want a quieter community, you know, and so they'll take the, you know, the commute, an hour and a half drive, you know, getting into to work. But now also, because folks work out of the home, it allows them to, you know, not stay, you know, in such mm-hmm. a busy, you know, population area. But they still, you know, are going need water. So, you know, you're drawing at the same aquifer. And I think where we're at, water rolls downhill, right? Water eventually is from the mountains and it flows, you know, eastward, down, you know, to the plains. And so You know, it's the same, you know, same resources. So you go underground and you're, and well drilling used to be where, you know, you drill one well and that's it. And the water that that well gave you was the quality you had to live with. But I'm, you know, seeing that's changing, maybe because, you know, the governments, you know, local governments, you know, like the permit fees. And, sure. you know, I mean, to drill a well, you could spend close to $50,000, mm-hmm. right? So with the permit fees based on the percentage of that.
Wow.
So it's something that in the grand scale of things, you know, builders, I even tell builders and even tell real estate agents, if, you know, you're going into a home, you know, you need to, you know, talk about the water and the water quality, because now that is something, water quality on a real estate purchase is where if people aren't told that, hey, you got problem water, your water is going to smell, you're going to, you know, rust stains in your water, then, you know, they're going back and complaining saying, hey, why wasn't this, you know, divulged to me up front? This wasn't disclosed. And so, you know, you have to say, I can't guarantee the quality of your water. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't be responsible for it. And the EPA on their website tells folks that, you know, if you have a private well, your well quality, you know, and the testing and monitoring is your own responsibility.
Right. And like you said, it's not like you got to move from one area of the state to another. It could be relatively close, as you mentioned a little while ago. The water could be different.
Right. Absolutely.
And who thinks about that?
Well, yeah, no. Yeah. And so, the major cities with problem water, you know, Inglewood has hard water, Littleton Highlands Ranch, you know, the Commerce City Reunion area. And then you figure all those new homes that Aurora's building on 470, you know, they're just, you know, and they're popping up quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, used to be when you went from, you know, got off on 470 on Smoky Hill, you drive all the way to, you know, the airport, you know, there was nothing to the east of you. And now look at it, you know, subdivisions are bopping up in Commerce City. You know, that's growing like wildfire, you know, Reunion area. It's just, you know, and both sides of Tower Road going into Commerce City is going to have, you know, homes are coming up left and right. And so it's the same water that everybody's going to be tapping into. What will happen is that they'll inject more total chlorine content to the water to sanitize it, right? So if you get water that's hard, you know, you have to live with the hardness, but iron content and any other contaminant, how they disinfect it is with a chloramine. So chloramine is ammonia mixed with chlorine, and they do that because the two combined have a longer contact time so they can kill bacteria and viruses. I, on that note, have an ultraviolet light on my, for the whole house just because of, you know, I don't want any kind of, you know, viruses or bacteria.
Sure.
City of Inglewood had an E. coli outbreak in their water supply. How does that happen? How do they get E. coli? Well, that tells you where the water's coming from. Because what is E. coli, right? That comes from water, you know, mm-hmm. what, you know, the waste that we flushed on the toilet. And so it's yeah. And so you think about that.
Absolutely. Great note to end on here for during our lunch hour. But, hey, I tell you what, again, Paul came out, installed a water softener for us, and I'm telling you, we love it, and you will feel the difference, taste the difference. It is Water Pros, waterpros.net. Call 303-862-55. Take a look and just, hey, kind of just tell you what you've got going on in your own house, and I promise you, he'll take great care of you. And if you would, please mention you heard him here on Haystack Help Radio.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.